Welcome to Savvy Stewardship. I am Tim Kaiser. On this channel, we provide simple financial solutions and inspire fearless generosity. Today, I am super excited to have Casey Stubbs on the show. Casey does a lot of things. Casey is a dad. He's a husband. He's a leader in his church. He owns a business. He's a podcaster and author, and he is a trader. So today we're going to tap into Casey's wisdom and knowledge on all things trading and anything else he wants to talk about that would help you learn how to trade more effectively. So Casey, welcome to the show. And would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little more about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for having me, Tim. Really appreciate being here. And I've been in business for about 15 years, online marketing, where I teach financial education and investing and trading, and really have learned a lot over the years. And I'm just really glad to be here and share with you everything that I know.
Perfect. Thank you. So now trading is a very vast and broad category. So if you could just define for us, how would you define trading?
Well, trading is, I mean, if you go back to like this foundation beginning, how it actually works, it's just trading goods and services, really, right? So if you are going to the grocery store and you have money and you hand that money in for your whatever it is you're buying for your cereal, you know, you give them $5 for your box of cereal and then you get that's trading, right? You're trading money for goods or services. And really, it's the same thing in a financial market. You're trading money for a stock or for a commodity or for nowadays with a currency. You can buy other currencies or a cryptocurrency. It's the same concept. You're just trading your money to have possession of those shares. And then with the whole hope that the shares will increase in value.
That's good. So most of the people who listen to Savvy Stewardship, a lot of them are side hustlers. So if you would say, or small business owners, they're trying to earn some extra income on the side. Is trading something that someone can do as a side hustle, or does this need to be a full-time endeavor?
Well, you know, here's my stance on it. And because I teach it and I do it, if you're going to consider to do trading as a side hustle, you've got to really be very serious. Like, it is not easy. I actually, usually if somebody's asking me what they should do, I am not going to recommend trading, because I've seen a lot of people just get wrecked, right? And here's the reason, right? So you are the stewardship, the financial principle guy. Right. So here's why 99.9% of people get involved in trading, from what I've understood from my experience. And that is, they have a financial problem, and that problem is causing them pain. And, you know, pain is not good. I don't like pain. Mm. Right. So you want to ease that pain. They're thinking, well, wait, I can make money in the stock market and ease that pain. I saw a commercial, or I saw a guy on TV, or I heard someone talking about something, you know, at McDonald's. And so they get into the market trying to ease their pain. But what they got to realize is, you get into the market, you start trading or investing, you have to actually solve a financial problem in trading. You have to have a system. You've got to understand all about yourself, because it's really about psychology and mindset and strategy, and doesn't so much have anything to do with finding a hot tip. And so people go in, they think it's a casino. They think it's a lottery ticket. They think that it's going to solve their financial problem, but it's not. And they go in with the wrong mindset. So if you go in with the wrong mindset, you're going to get crushed, because you don't have the mind to win. You have the mind to get lucky and to make it big. But more people go in with the wrong mindset and they get crushed. So if you are considering trading, you need to really study it, practice, be strategic, and have a plan, and to get help from somebody, and then you can go for it. But, you know, you want to consider the cost before you do it.
So you talk about that strategy, and I know you have a course you offer and a book, and you train people in this. So most people, and I work in the financial industry, and understanding values of companies and how well a company is doing is part of the strategy, I'm sure. Most people, I mean, like you have most financial, we'll talk about Dave Ramsey, the probably the most popular financial guru, really discourages people from buying individual stocks and focus primarily on mutual funds, right? And I understand from the perspective, now I do dabble in some individual stocks, but I actually understand financial statement analysis and things of that nature. Most people don't, right? Is that part of your strategy, is financial statement analysis, or is it more mindset and specific strategies?
Well, you're very advanced in your financial statement knowledge. I'm a business owner and a trader and an investor, and I still don't quite get all of that stuff. So for me, that's not really important. And I look, I agree with Dave Ramsey in the fact that most people shouldn't do it, right? Most people really shouldn't because of the education and understanding and the actual work that is involved. It's extreme. And yeah, so I am trying to discourage. Go with the 401k. You know, a great strategy, though, if you want to do individual stocks that's not a 401k, is invest in the S&P 500, right? Because the S&P 500 is 500 of the best companies in America. And they change it all the time. You know, if a company starts, that's why you see, when you see the market, you're like, oh, the market's doing great. Well, the market is usually going to do really well because they're pulling out the companies that are lagging, and then they're putting companies that are doing well. So if you have the best companies in the world in there, even if maybe the rest of the economy is not so doing so well, those companies are still going to do good. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great strategy. Let the S&P 500, which has a billion-dollar research company, let them do the research for you.
Yeah, and so I think the S&P, if we do the returns on that, I think last time I looked, and I think it was since like 1957, those companies returned over 10% a year. So it's, you know, there's some strategy there. So,
and that's really all you need, right? And so you've got to, you know, I got very fortunate on how I got started in this business, and that is, my dad was a stock trader. And I learned a little bit from him. He didn't really teach me, but he didn't know how to use computers. And so I had to get him on the computer in the 90s because he used to call it in on the telephone, like, buy GE at $47, you know. And then when it went online, he didn't even know how to use a computer. So I had to set it up for him. I was like 17. And so I saw this. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to make money. I love this. And so I joined the Army. And that was like the very first thing that I did was I opened up an E-Trade account.
Interesting.
That was in 1997. And I put almost all of my money into the market. And so that's the principle, right? The principle is, you know, you want to be a person that, at the time I was not a Christian, so I didn't give, mm-hmm. right? But now I want to give first, and then I want to invest and save second. But I was in the Army for 4 years, and I was 23 years old, and I had over $30,000.
Wow.
And that was in 19, you know, that was in 2000. So that money's like worth 60 grand now at 23 years old, just from the simple. And here's the thing, is I only made $800 a month. I did not make a lot of money.
Right.
Right. But it's just that consistency. You know, I heard a stat because I just read the book, The Power to Change by Craig Groeschel. Great book. About discipline, right? This whole thing starts with discipline. That's the whole Christian life, right? Mm-hmm. You got a discipline to read your Bible, discipline to have a relationship with God, discipline to work on your marriage and your family, your finances. And that's really, discipline is freedom. But Craig Groeschel said a statement. He said, if you want to start investing at 40 years old and get $1 million by 65, you have to invest like $700 a month if you start at 40. But if you start at 20, and you're a financial statement guy, you get this. But if you start at 20, you only have to invest like $2 a month.
It's crazy. It's nuts. And the numbers are really crazy. Yeah. So you had said something about that, about giving consistently. Like, you were only making $800 a month, and now you had this large pool of money. Because I remember I was in the Navy when I was 22 or 23. So I'm just totally relating the mindset and how it's so easy to just have fun where you are. But I'm actually studying, getting ready to prepare like a talking head video on Genesis 8:22, seed time and harvest. And that's that whole consistency of just giving. And you said the Craig Rochelle example, if you start when you're 20, you can still sow a lot, you can invest a lot less. And the longer you wait, the more expensive it becomes. And then you might have to take, you might feel like you had to take on more risk. So yeah, that's the $1 million question, is how do we get people started earlier? Because the whole FOMO and, you know, all that stuff, you know?
Right. And you just got to look at it. Like, I saw another guy say, all you got to do is put in $5 a day. And that's like going to Starbucks or something, getting a cup of coffee. It's just amazing how mm-hmm. easy that could actually be. And so let's look at it on a money side, right? S&P average is 10%. So if you do $1,000 your first year, that means you're going to make 100 in profit. Okay. Very simple. That's not life changing.
Right.
But then in year two, you put another 1,000 in. Next year, you're making $200 in profit. Right. And so it's just like paying off your mortgage, but a reverse
amortization.
So once you get that, after a while, you're going to put in 1,000, but you're going to get like 2,000, then you're going to make 4,000. And then it gets to the point where putting money in anymore doesn't even make sense, because it's like a drop in the ocean.
Yeah. That whole compounding thing working for us instead of against us.
Right. And so the problem is they don't teach it in schools and they don't educate people, and nobody knows this. And I don't really know why. I don't know if it's just the nature of discipline and sowing a seed and, you know, waiting for the harvest, you know, that whole, okay, I'm going to sow for a season, I'm going to work for a season, and then I'm going to reap in a season, and just that delayed gratification. Because here's another example. When I was in the Army, everybody was broke, mm-hmm. you know, and you were in the Navy, you know, so like the DVDs, they're buying DVDs, mm-hmm. they're buying, you know, you get free food at the chow hall and they're going out to eat. You know, they're buying furniture and TVs and literally going out and partying. Every single penny was gone. And people would feel sorry for me because I didn't buy anything. And like, people would come over and donate clothes to me because they thought I was like the poor guy. They're like, dude, here's some clothes, you know? And they live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't, I don't know. I didn't really get the training. I just was like, I kind of grew from a poor family, and they didn't spend money. And so for me, that was like, well, I got to hold on to this.
You mentioned the clothing thing, because I flashed back when I was – so I joined the Navy. You know, I'm old. So I was 1986 when I was going to my schooling after boot camp. And most – and, you know, Army's, I'm sure, the same way. Most of these bases – people around them are constantly like, they know that this is who their money goes to. So these kids would go just off the farm from boot camp to the school, to this mall, and they would spend so much money on clothing, you know, their whole paycheck. And the salespeople there worked on commission because they knew, you know, the whole go to a car lot, we finance E1 and above type concept. And they would spend all their money on clothing, and half the day they're wearing military uniforms, right? But they want to look cool, and they would like spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars and not do any kind of investing or saving or anything at all.
Right. Yeah. So we got to teach that. The young people don't know it. We got to teach it and get that concept, because it's really life changing. It's absolutely life changing. And I'll do one more example. You know, my grandparents had just a great influence and example for me, but they, you know, they retired in like 97 or something like that. And just their money never decreased, right? Mm. They retired in 97 and they kept making money every single year. And my grandfather just passed away 2 years ago at 93. Wow. So he was able to live for 30 years and he had more when he died than when he retired, just because the money was working, you know, it was just doing what it was supposed to do.
That's a great example, because a lot of people, what do they call it? Superannuation, I think, is the term that's used in investing, where you actually outlive your money, is a concern for most people. That's nice to hear a great story like that.
A lot of people are like, okay, I'm going to retire in 10 years. I want to make sure I don't run out in 10 years, right?
So it, trading in general, because I, you know, what I've mentioned, and this is because this is what I'm limited to and what I know, but you know a ton. So what other kind of trading can there be? You briefly talked about it, you know, beginning, but I mean, mostly think it's going to be stocks and bonds or mutual funds. What other kind of trading is part of what you teach, you train, you coach?
So trading is actually the same no matter what, right? It does not matter if it's a stock, a bond, a commodity or futures, which is trading like gold and silver or something like sugar futures or orange futures or cattle. That's all the same. And currency trading, where you're trading the dollar versus the yen or the dollar versus the euro, or now there's crypto. It's all the same. It's all the same. And it's all based off of chart analysis. So you pull up a chart and you just look at certain things on that chart. And it's probably a lot more than what I can get into here. Sure. But it's basic, making basic decisions on momentum, on the direction of the chart. And my strategy is very simple. I mean, it's just, it's really easy. And it's like, if it's going up, you invest in it. When it starts to go down, you stop.
Sounds pretty right? simple. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and the chart will show you that because I'm a big believer in the Pareto principle, right? So we look at the stock market, and that's why the S&P 500 is such a great strategy. But, you know, 20% of the stock market, the great returns are going to happen by 20% of the companies, right? And then when you look at that 80-20% principle, it's what they call fractal, which means the top, if you take that 20%, there's an 80-20 inside the top 20. Right. So inside that top 20, there's a top 20% and a bottom 80%. So you want to go in and find the top 20% and pick the best of the best. So if you look at certain charts in the stock market, there are certain stocks that always go up. Right. And so I'm not a big believer in diversification, but if you're a beginner, that's why I say go to the S&P. Sure. But me, I don't believe in it because if I've got 10 stocks, and eight of them are performing mediocre, and one of them is like doubling and tripling every year, why not just put everything in the best and then manage your risk so that you don't have risk challenges, like you're not going to lose the money, and just go for the best. So I try to find new technology, because if you look in the past couple hundred years, new technology is what moves the market.
Yep.
And I'm not bearish. You know, you look at, oh, politics, right? America's falling apart. Everything's bad. And you know what? That could happen. Yes. You know, the judgment of God and all of that kind of stuff and entering into sin. I believe in all that.
Yeah.
But I also know that technology has a very good track record of changing the world.
Yeah.
And in the past couple hundred years in the United States of America, we have an incredibly different lifestyle.
Absolutely.
We're very wealthy, and it's because of technology. And I believe a lot of that is because we've been blessed by God. Sure. As a nation. I think that's the fruit of our, is that God gave us the ability to make these technologies. But, you know, you go back and look at General Electric and, you know, when they invented the light bulb, and Ford, when the motor car came out, and, you know, all of these great technologies that changed the world. And, you know, McDonald's isn't necessarily technology, but they created the fast food industry.
Right.
You know, and so you find somebody that creates something new and then you invest in it. So more recently, we have things like cell phones, right? That's new. The internet, yeah. All these great internet companies, all these new techs. And there's been 1,000 internet companies, but why not just invest in the best one, Amazon?
Right.
Why not? There's, you know, you got Microsoft and Apple. Like, those are the best of the best. They've dominated. Invest in them. And if you look at their charts, it pays off. And now we got new tech. We got crypto coming out, which could change the world. It's a new kind of money. We've got AI, which is a new kind of technology. It's changing the world. We've got electric vehicles that's changing the world. All of these new technologies. Find the new tech, and then find the company that's the best and the leader, and then just invest in the best. Invest in the one, you know, it's like sports analogy, right? You got, I don't know if you're into sports, but if you have an athlete, there's always seems like there's a Tom Brady or Michael Jordan or a, you know, whatever, Tiger Woods, somebody that is better by head and shoulders than the rest. And I like to look at leadership of companies.
Sure.
Right. You look at financial statements. I look at leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to bet on that guy who's a winner, the guy who is driven and he's going to take his company to the next level no matter what. I'm looking for the Michael Jordan of the stock market.
Yeah. I had the fortune. I was talking about leadership. I was fortunately when I worked for GE Capital, Jack Welch was still the CEO for a little while. So I know all about strong leadership. And you mentioned about diversification. So I want to bring in a comment from Charlie Munger, the now passed away co-chair of Berkshire Hathaway. He used the term kind of disparagingly, or he called it diversification. And, in air quotes, and he same thing. Because if you look at Berkshire Hathaway, which is probably arguably one of the most successful investment companies over the course of the years, they're only invested in a handful of businesses. They're not.
And they pick the best.
They pick the best. And so you have a strategy, though, because that's the concern most people. Like, oh, because here, and we talked before the show, that I have a small Roth account I kind of play with. And I'm looking at the returns on that. And they're way higher than my 401k mutual funds. I mean, you're going to get even a strongly well-run mutual fund, you might get 10-11% on average. But like I have some of my individuals, my fund one right now is Celsius. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Celsius.
I'm in Celsius.
And I bought it at 52, which I thought, man, this is awesome. So, but it's like, you know, those are like now like 70 for me, 70, 80, 90% growth. Which I would never get in a mutual fund. So, I mean, that's a great point that I think, but to your point earlier, having a strategy though, to make sure, because people need to have a plan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of my plans is, so step one, you find the leader. Step two, look at the leadership of the company. And then step three, you just look at their charts. And if it's moving up, you want to invest in it. And you know, the other strategy for me, which is really what got me to where I am, is that consistency.
Mm.
You know, just taking every time I get paid, I'm investing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Like, it's just like, that's the key. And so even if you pick a bad stock or maybe it has a downturn. So here's a really interesting example that I used recently. I got into Coinbase on the IPO.
Okay.
And it went up to like, and because I thought, you know, to new tech, they're the only exchange or they're the number one exchange for crypto. So I'm like, okay. So I invested, it went up to $300, $400 and I got in at like $330. Well, it went all the way down to $30. And so it's like, oh my goodness, from $330, my investment down to $30. But you know what? I felt like, okay, I think this thing's going to turn around. And I still believe in the fundamentals and all that. So I would just put in money every week.
Mm-hmm.
Coinbase. And when you're investing in that, always adding into your account, it actually is a blessing when it goes down because you get cheaper,
mm-hmm.
right? So as it was going down in the 30s, it just kind of stayed down there for a while, which in the trading world, that means it's accumulating. People are starting to buy. It's all based on supply and demand, but big time people are starting to buy, right? And then they're holding. And when they don't sell, that's what makes the price go up. But so I was just buying and holding. And I was able to get my average cost down. Because if you buy in mathematics here, if you buy in at 330 and then you buy in at 30, what's your new average cost? It's now down like right in the middle.
Yep.
Right. So now it's $100. You come back to $100, you're making money. Well, I was able to get my average cost down to about $50 a share.
Nice.
Just by being consistent. Mm-hmm. And now Coinbase is trading at like $250.
Okay.
And so I'm way, way, way in profit because I was consistent. So when you're in that, when it's in a downturn and if you're just dollar cost averaging is the term, it's magic.
Yeah, that's what people do. And I remember because you've been around long enough. So you went through the liquidity crisis when the stock market was basically just, you know, decimated. And I saw so many people I worked with or family members who locked in the losses and then stopped investing when things were on sale. And I'm thinking, now's the time to buy. Unless you're 75 years old, if you have a horizon, you just start buying. Like you said, you change the discount because now it's like, you know, $25. I remember it's crazy that people, but that's why a strategy is important, because people, our emotions, you know, behavioral finance is legit and our emotions will betray us. So that's why a strategy like you teach is so important.
Yeah. Fear is a big one. And, you know, people make really weird decisions when they're fearful, especially when it's involving money. You know, if there's that fear of lack and things like that, that will really cause you to make some extremely poor decisions. But you know what, one of the things that people really don't understand is why the market is always going up. And the thing about our system is that it is designed by the Federal Reserve to always go up because they control the money supply, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, for example, right now the interest rates are higher, right? And they're talking about lowering the rates. And so the interest rates actually have a huge impact on the market because it controls money supply. And if you know the law of supply and demand, when there's an excess, the value decreases, mm-hmm. right? And so we know that the value, what's decreasing, it's not the stock market, it's the value of the dollar.
Yes.
And so that value of the dollar, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to put your money in the bank account? No. The stock market is automatically designed to go up because of the increasing supply of money. And all of the educated and the wealthy, they know how the system works. But the most of the society doesn't know this.
Yeah. So we're getting close to be at time. So I want to ask you a couple of just questions, if you don't mind. What was one of your biggest, you've been doing this for a long time trading. What was one of your biggest wins that you can share with us? It was like, wow, this one was, I mentioned Celsius, really small, but almost doubled since the beginning of the year, which is, I think, is super exciting. Do you have a story you want to share with us about a great trade win you've had?
You know, I would say probably one of my best wins was investing in Facebook. Mm. And, you know, again, that's kind of a funny thing because I got in early. It was kind of like the Coinbase. It IPO'd and then it dropped. And so I got in as it dropped. It actually went down really low and I got in like in the 20s, around $20 in Facebook. And now I think it's trading at like $300 or $400. So that was a really good return on investment on Facebook. And that was not even that long ago. Maybe 10 years ago is when I first got into that. And that was from one of the young people that worked for me.
Yeah.
gave me that idea. He was like a 19-year-old college student. He was working for me. He's like, you should really invest in Facebook. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's amazing too. We kind of hit on it a second ago that a person can do well with mutual funds. They really can, and 401ks is simple. But the big swing for the fence wins are going to come through individual investing, because that's when you can get the dividends directly if you are a dividend person, or growth stocks that can, you know, I was looking at Monster, the beverage company, recently, and the returns on that one historically are just massive. You know, or, you know, your Apples. I mean, I remember when Apple was almost a dead company. All it was used for was graphic artists. You know, there was no, people don't understand, there used to not be iPhones, you know, there used to not be iPads or, you know, any of that stuff. It was just an iMac called an Apple, and it was used only by a very niche group of people. And now those things are just growing. So, again, strategy is important for those, though, to understand when to get in, when to get out, and, you know, when to call it quits.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I personally, one of the, you know, I've got a podcast as well, and I interview a lot of people. I've been hosting it for 6 years, and you mentioned you want to talk to people that know more than you, and that's me too. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to people that are really smart. And one of the guys said, no one's going to manage your money like you. Right. No one cares about your money like you care about it. Right. So there's something to be said about just handing your money over to a financial advisor and saying, hey, get me this. It takes a lot of trust. And a lot of times they are not going to do what you would do
right.
for your own research and And so it takes some time, it takes some work, it takes education, but it's definitely worth it, in my opinion.
So how can people get, because you have a training course and you coach people through that course and you have a podcast, how can people best connect with Casey Stubbs and the things you're doing?
Okay, well, I have a website. It's called tradingstrategyguides.com. And from there, you can read some articles that my team puts out about trading different strategies. That's why it's called Trading Strategy Guides, just education. I also have a book called The Complete Trading System, which is available on Amazon. And I have a podcast called How to Trade It, where I interview expert traders. And you can find all the information from that on my website as well.
And I will link to it here in the discussion below, so people can find it as well if you're having difficulty. Is there anything we didn't cover today you think would be good to know for people who would listen to this channel?
Well, you know, there's just a lot of education. So, I mean, there's just a ton of things, tons of little things that takes time. You're obviously not going to get all of this in a podcast interview, but I would say that just begin the journey. Get with some people that you know, get help. I always get help from others, from wise men that can speak into my life. If I have a problem, if there's something I need help with, I can talk about. Don't try to do stuff on your own. Get somebody to help you out with something.
Very good. Well, Casey, really appreciate you being on today. And those of you, thanks for coming by today. And we will see you soon with a new video. Until then, I dare you to profit so you can practice and promote radical, revolutionary, fearless generosity. Blessings.